Seat. Members of the public, my personal apologies for having kept you waiting outside for so long past the time we told you we would have public comment. It's nearly an hour later than what was said yesterday, so I do apologize for those of you that have been waiting to come in as we extended our executive session. But we're here now, and we're very glad to see all of you. And as soon as our board members take their seats, we will go ahead and proceed with public comment and the report outs of what occurred in closed session. Thank you. Oh, here it is. No? Is that the correct list? Okay, thank you. The first board members, everybody in their seats almost, please, so you can give attention to the public. Thank you. All right, the first speaker on the public comment list is Adriana Kasinev.
Hi.
Hello.
Again. I'm Adriana Kasinev, and I'm repeating the name because I complain that in your meetings, sometimes you don't say your names, and we, the people that are here, and we don't know who's talking. Oh, I know now. I was yesterday night talking with a very wise man, Mr. Otis McLean and Mr. Benito Diaz, and we agree 100%. We as Pacificans are strong-willed people. We are here because we don't like the way that mainstream is doing things. Everybody has an agenda. If you don't have one, what are you doing here? But that doesn't mean that it's an evil one. Obviously, we think our way is the best one. In a permanent pendulum, we find ourselves in the majority and later on in the minority. We will not get 100% of what we want. Then we need to build consensus.
Folks, sidebars in the back, please, courtesy to the public, no conversations that we can hear in here other than the person who's speaking. Thank you, Adriana. I apologize. Please continue.
When you are in the majority, you have to. It is your responsibility to reach out to the minority and offer, first, respect, and second, some options. If not, you are pushing the minority into a corner where their only option will be to block your path to where they perceive as the wrong decision. I was opposed to this in-person meeting, but I humble admit I was wrong. In the meantime, you were in here in executive session. We were outside building community relationships with the other Pacificans from other stations.
Excellent.
I thank you for your kindness to me. And in a positive note, you will be safe from me at least for 2 years. Don't you feel sorry for Nancy, Richard, Jessica, and Teresa? They will not be free of me. Thank you all.
Thank you. The next speaker is Lawrence Reyes. Hi, Lawrence.
Thank you. I usually like to go last, but I have to leave and tell everybody how open you guys were.
No.
But just for the state of Houston, I want to compliment and really thank you for your gracious hospitality here. And as a New Yorker that's implanted in California, the other thing I want to say is that you're, and this is a high compliment coming from a snobby New Yorker, your food is excellent. So, your restaurants are great. And the food is, I mean, almost as good as New York. But, okay, seriously now. I'm a little disturbed by the amount of closed sessions we've had and the amount of public session that has not been conducted. And the serious issues that you have facing you in regards to WBAI, primarily, very concerned. In regards to the investigations that have been going on the previous KPFK programming search committee, that concerns me. It concerns me that the governance committee has submitted many motions that have been time sensitive. And there's been a motion that was submitted by the governance committee to make available the salaries of all positions in Pacifica and those positions that are open or are posted on the website. So, and none of these motions, I believe, have been taken seriously, or they haven't been serious enough for somehow for you guys to be able to reach a consensus to address them in public session. So that really concerns me. Other than that, I'd like to thank you for your service. I'd like to thank you for putting on this meeting, although I hope next time if a meeting's held in Houston or in Texas anywhere, that you find the niche of a union hotel or a union establishment to hold the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence. And Nancy Sebar and Natomi?
I'm sorry. Thank you, everybody, for all your hard work. What did I want to say? Okay. KBOO of Portland, Oregon, a community radio station, has an 8-member board. They just voted 8-0 unanimously for a union. Okay? And they sound happier in Fund Drive. Okay. About that, let's see what I want to say. More oversight and transparency of management's work needs to be done. No more blindness. And I think everything, financial, management work, and LSB, attending or not attending, things that they were elected for. And the rosters should be put on each website, and an LSB email should be there. WBAI, I have to have it filtered by Bertrand each time, and it's so not so good. Please put an email there. And LSB at kpfd.org. I wish that would back on the website so y'all could have direct communication with the KPFD board. I'm sure that will happen soon. Our roster was taken down last spring, and I'm sure it'll be put back because we're going to be more transparent, right? Okay, and the other thing is about the bylaw amendments about cutting back the LSB and the PMB. You're cutting back representation. And when I was elected in 2010, we had 11 candidates, and I came in 9th place. Last place, okay? So if you cut it in LSB and you cut the PMB representation, you miss out on having me. And we need more transgenders and more blacks. We have only 2 blacks on our KPFD. Here in the deep south, we have only 2 board members that are black. Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
Neil. Thank you. Next person is Ted Weiskill. Is Ted here? Oh, you put yourself down at the bottom, so you want me to call you now. Okay, yeah. That's fine. And Maurice Roberts?
Yeah, I'm Maurice Roberts, speaking for Ted Weisgel. And so we have a prepared statement here. Well, he has a prepared statement.
I'm sorry. Point of personal privilege?
Yes.
Don't hate him. The Roberts is same plantation or something. He's not really.
Okay. So, dear members of the PNB, if you were following them right now, either amend or, the bylaws. This is about the bylaws. Either amend or follow the bylaws. If you were following them right now, I might be allowed to speak. What was said last night was that the bylaws require 30 minutes of public comment each day of this 4-day meeting. That is not correct. What they say is public comment periods are at board meetings shall be not less, repeating not less than 1 hour. Thankfully, you have exceeded that minimum standard, but in the future, whether in person or video conferencing, do it via a proper motion. I'm making this point because it's a convenient illustration. The bigger problem is that throughout this foundation, we do not follow our bylaws. The biggest problem we have, probably network-wide, is that our LSBs rarely work with station management to ensure that station programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation. There may be a way to fix this problem. I know there are no quick fixes, but it is to mandate that with the election of each new board, there be a day-long training session where the bylaws are reviewed and discussed. As a part of the day, there should be 3 hours devoted to reviewing Robert's rules, including the part about committees of 12 people or less. The 3 hours on Roberts should be taught by a certified parliamentarian. I believe this would help make Pacifica a far more productive, vibrant, and financially secure organization. Ted Weisgold.
Thank you so much. Bennett?
Good. I was going to say good morning. I just woke up, but good afternoon. Understand you don't have a financial officer here?
No, I do not.
You know, for a board, your fiduciary responsibility is key. That'd be like going to have sex and leaving certain body parts at home. We have a station here. Well, let me do it this way. Ted Kennedy was kind of a rough person in his younger years, but he eventually kind of mellowed up. And one of the things that he did back in the 80s, he deregulated trucking and the radio industry. Now, those of you who are about my age may remember the trucking incident because it allowed independents to become and do the same thing that union drivers did, and they'd be going down the freeway, and a rifle blast would go through their window and take them out because certain people didn't want the independents in. Well, on the other side of the communication side, it deregulated radio saying, hey, you don't have to do X amount of hours of public service announcements. You don't have to do any more news. So in the Latin and African American communities where you had radio stations and they were owned by Anglos, guess what? They say, play the music. We don't need any more news. Okay? So basically right now we have KTSU in Houston. They don't have a real news department. We have KYOK, KCOH, Magic, The Box, and they definitely don't have a news department. So this was a boon for Pacifica all over the country because when the stations were deregulated, Pacifica had community news. Now, point in case, we have a station here at the University of Houston called KUHF. KUHF has a small footprint in the market. What they play is classical music. So guess what? How many people ride around on the streets and have their cell phones plugged in listening to classical music? But what they did, they put together one of the best community news departments in the city. Okay? They cover opera, they cover City Hall, they cover Commissioner's Court, they cover the Greater Houston Partnership speakers, luncheons, they cover sports, they cover anything and everything that affects communities all over the city. Latin, Hispanic, Asian, Pakistani, you name it. And so that has grown their listenership. They have a great audience now. And when they have fundraisers, they raise barrels of money.
You're out of time, Mr. Bennett.
So what I'm saying in summation is that we need to bring back community news. And if you're wondering where your fundraising has gone to, put community news back and you'll be where you were back in the 80s and 90s.
Thank you so much. Tej Gribble.
Good afternoon, everybody. I know everybody's kind of concerned about we were receiving the emotional responses to, I guess, heated debates or things going on inside here and business that has not yet been attended to. As that is running through your minds, and what are you going to do hereafter? Some people get concerned or how it goes with decisions being made unilaterally through emergency time or, you know, there's also a time limit that time goes towards for these sessions and this time and this weekend. So if I can turn the direction in your minds for a minute, I wanted to propose that when each of the five stations go back to your communities, that you talk with your local station boards and you think about your youth in the community. On the mission statement, it talks about education and scholarships. And I would really like to propose that you look at, you have 100% of a fundraising that you receive, and we talked that Pacifica is the 99%. And I would suggest that each station take 1% of their receiving of donations, and they set aside scholarship funds. That way, listeners, they involve their children who can apply, who do community work. It can increase listenership and keep the next generation involved. You can disperse those funds more categorically through different themes, responded to different styles of program, if it's music, public affairs, different areas that students want to go study in colleges. But just 1% should be given to the next generation, because they're 14 right now, the ones that I teach, between 14 and 18. And in 5 years from now, they're going to be voting for your future. Okay, so you need to be making sure that you're supporting them and that they know that they received money to go do work for their community and through their education. And that is our job, to give at least 1% back to them, to the parents who have contributed 1% through each fund drive quarterly. And I would really like to suggest that you guys can talk to your local station boards about discussing that. That'd be really important to get the movement going with youth, because remember, in 5 years from now, they'll be voting for you. For if some people are retired or if some people are getting ready to retire, they're going to be voting on your future. They'll be the decision makers. Okay, so thank you.
Thank you, Tash. Bill Crozier.
Thank you all for enduring all this. I want to put aside what we're, you know, all, there's always current issues, problems that we like to think about. Think about it a little bit in the future. How can we improve how Pacifica is operating, our governance? I'll talk about three of the proposed bylaws amendments briefly. First is on the size of the local station boards. Respectfully disagree with Nancy and Adriana. I think that as sort of as a scientist and engineer, I think I'm a pragmatist. I like to look and see what works. We've done a great experiment, but our boards are too big. And we don't have to change drastically anything that we're doing about how we elect our boards, but it costs too much. The bigger the board is, the more dysfunction there is. It complicates things. Group dynamic studies throughout, you know, looking at the scientific literature, always show that larger groups, you have less discussion, and talking to people like me dominate the discussion, and quieter people talk less. So the argument that you get more diverse opinions is really not even true. You end up getting less, you know, good decision making, and you can't do problem solving with large boards. It's just impossible. And the studies show that the best size of committees and boards is usually around 8 to 15, and preferably about 10 or 12. So the bylaws amendments, the two of them, one for reducing the size of the local station boards, and the other for the PNB, is designed to make it a little more functional. And if it doesn't work, you can change it again too. My personal feeling is that they could probably cut in half, and you'd still get plenty of diverse input. Again, most on almost every issue, people end up dividing into two groups anyway. So, and there's plenty of opportunities for people to send you emails and public comment at your local station board meetings and everything. So I encourage you to go back to your stations and please talk to your board members about this if you agree with this. Because last year, almost the same amendments would have passed if some more people had just showed up at their meetings. We have too many times where, and I know KPFT also, we have people who may agree with it, would if they thought about it. They don't read it before they get to the meetings. They don't think it's important. They don't show up, or something comes up. And you know, you have to take a majority of the entire board, not just who's present, to approve them. So, again, and it would also save money, especially for the PNB meetings, you know, the travel costs and stuff like that. I know that's been a concern. I personally think the cost of the board meetings is minor compared to all the other things, and I think it really is important. And the other amendment I was going to talk about is the in-person meetings. I understand the concerns, but and I know I disagree with some of my friends in this room on this, but I think in-person meetings are really important. I don't care personally how long your executive sessions are versus the open sessions. We can listen to that stuff on the stream, on the telephonic meetings, just as easily as coming here. What's important is the time outside the meetings, where we can talk to each of you, we can talk to each other from other stations. You can't do that at all in telephonic meetings. It's the most valuable part of the in-person meeting. So, and if you can reduce the size of the national board, it won't even cost more to have four, back, go back to four meetings a year. So I encourage you to work towards that as a goal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Dwayne Bradley.
I'd like to, for what it's worth, endorse what Bill just said. I agree with all three of those amendments on the bylaws revisions. So, as you wind up here, I want to thank you again for your contributions to the cause. I wish that there may have been a few more hours outside this room that you got to spend. I do thank each and every one of you for your contributions. I know there's been, well, apparently there was a good cleanup squad to mop up the blood from the floor here. But I'm constantly optimistic in the midst of ample evidence to the contrary that Pacifica can survive. I'm optimistically hopeful that it will not just continue to survive but to thrive. And I think that in our own small way, Houston is an example of the station that could and does. Any examples you can extract from it that you may be able to take home with you and implement in your local areas, I would thank you to do so. But I just, in general, want to thank each and every one of you, whatever differences you have with me, whatever differences you have with each other, as I spoke to this point over the weekend. What we all share in common far outweighs the differences that we have on any particular issue, on any particular person, on any particular point in the bylaws, or any of these other things. And the ultimate goal that I know we all share is that of creating a peaceful world, and I thank you for your contributions to that.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who have not yet spoken who would like to? Anybody who's already spoken who wants a second round? Just offering here.
A second? Oh, do we have a second?
Yes, ma'am. Would you like to speak again, Nancy? See? Nothing like seconds of a good meal, huh?
Okay. Go ahead. During the fund drive at KPFT, we have a we don't allow announcement of events or protest rallies or candidate cards, or it's very troubling, and even KPFD town hall meetings. And could y'all think about it? I mean, I recommend maybe to management to change his mind about this. I know it's important to get money, but we still got to do the mission, even during fund drive. And most troubling is execution watch when we murder somebody. It gets pushed to the HD channel, and nobody can hear it. And so one time, 5 minutes before it was supposed to start, they pushed them to the, and two shows were sharing that 1 hour. Nuestra Palabra, which is about Spanish Latino literature, and Ray Hill with the execution going on at the prison death house. So guess what? Their $300, which they struggled, their goal, $600 came in pledges. They never, that was a first. And Tony Diaz said, I am so emotional. We have never doubled our goal. And I feel sorry on the death of this man. And it was real radio. It was wonderful. So, please, it doesn't have to be like, oh, we're not going to make money if we keep it on there, so let's push it to the HD. Please, could you, since this board 2 years ago did vote a unanimous vote against the death penalty, I think you should do it updated every year, you know, and that would be good. And also send recommendations about keep this in mind. And the newspaper, Tribuno Pueblo, I asked a group that is on the Execution Watch show, the death penalty abolitionists, and they wrote an article, and they included KPFT, Pacifica Radio, and we have Execution Watch and archives, and that was good, and the address of our station. So you might have similar things where you are. This is a national newspaper. It's 30 cents a copy. Mary Lena distributes them. I help her distribute them, and you can write an article and put it into. It's 501(c). It's 35 years history. It's free online. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Lawrence? I thought you raised your hand because you wanted. You were
no,
just
I
joking
just
around with me.
But I didn't.
I was trying not to miss anything out there.
Thank you. But I do want to just briefly comment on, respectfully, on what my friend Bill Crozier spoke about in regards to the reduction of boards and or the increase in the boards. As we stand right now, the stations that have less membership are empowered to have. An equal amount of representation that those members who have more membership have. So to disenfranchise your own station or your own representation, it doesn't make much sense to me. It doesn't jive with me. But what I would like to see is, you know, in regards to that, a robust debate and discussion about it, so we could maybe reach some kind of consensus on what we should really do. But I want to just be clear that I am in favor of the present structure as it is. I just think that if board members, local station board members, participated more in committees, then a lot of the confusion would be less. I'm not saying that it would disappear, but I believe that if more members participated in committees and actually do some of the work before we meet as full boards, then I think we'll be more effective.
Thank you, Lawrence. Whomever has a phone, please mute it. Thank you. I don't know whose phone that is.
That's my
cue. Bill, go ahead.
Reminder of what I mentioned yesterday. Please go home and ask your other fellow board members to spend less time picking on little things to fuss about and blowing up into big things, and more time on fundraising and membership growth.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Tej, did you want a second? Go ahead. Thank you.
I just wanted to extend a little bit off of the 1% from fundraising. I know that there's a very high cost of premiums through the fund drives that are going on. And there's an analogy that runs through my heart a little bit by the dominance that I see of the face creams and the health things that go on at the rate that they go on, forcing a line of fuel, monetary fuel, towards the network. And I'm reminded of the reports that we report on about force-feeding the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay, how painful that is in the system. Some people think that you're putting nutrition into the system, but what it takes to jam that into the throat of an individual and the integrity that they suffer from as you do that, that's very powerful. There's also an artist named Most Def. There's a video online. He gives an example on, you know, the tolerance or the intolerance of being able to handle something like that. So as a network, I would like to encourage that, because that occupies the time of the community to be giving the news and the programming that they need, that each station be very active with making sure that there's training for unpaid programmers for fund drive, for raising funds for fund drive. That way the programming can stay on, and I think also through the news departments that, you know, developing those. So you are going to have to make that step away, and that's going to take willpower to step away from what's been able to raise funds so you can give that news back to the community. Because you can force feed for a while, but if you're not rehabilitating the motion, then you will end up with a vegetable that sits there and is just receiving the information. And, you know, we can go ahead and just tune into CNN and ABC and, you know, NBC for all that. So, thank you.
Thank you, Tej. Anyone else from the public? All right, we have to do our report outs now for what's gone on the last 4 days in executive session. I'd like to acknowledge the Personnel Committee Chair, John Crumshaw.
Thank you. The report out is that the PNB has extended a higher offer to Summer Reese to serve as permanent executive director.
Thank you. And now I'd like to hand it to our Secretary Richard Uzzell for the rest of the report outs.
Okay.
Thank you.
I know y'all have missed hearing a lot of our stuff, and so I'll give you a little Robert's rules here. I'd like to have a point of information for Bill Crozier. Did I hear the last thing you said was please leave town? I live here. Gee whiz. Okay, I got three report outs, and these will be published somewhere in a small journal in New England somewhere. The first report out is that the PNB discussed the KPFK PD search committee process of 2012 and are in consultation with counsel. The next one is that the PNB met in closed session solely to discuss confidential personnel matters. And then the third one is that the PNB discussed nothing concerning WBAI.
And thank you. Those are the report outs of this four-day meeting.
Let me say one thing
certainly,
real quick.
Mr.
I'd like to thank my KPFT family for helping us all work together and get this meeting done. Thank you, guys. You guys and gals. Brother.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank all of my colleagues for surviving another PNB meeting. I'd like to thank all of you. I've been the chair of this board for the last 3 years, and obviously that is changing, so I'm happy to accept the executive director position, and I've enjoyed being your chair as well. So thank you. I look forward to continuing to serve the organization in my new capacity. So thank you all for coming, and thank you for bearing with us, because it takes so long for these deliberative decisions to be made here sometimes. But we thank you, and look forward to serving you.
This is Heather Graham, Vice Chair of the Board. I have a quick announcement. I know I was talking with you all about the photos that we took at the visit to KPFT. They are now on YouTube, and you can search it by going to Pacifica National Board Visits KPFT in Houston. You can find that on YouTube, and I'll send the link to you, Duane. All right, thanks. Okay.
So thank you, everyone. This meeting is adjourned. This in-person PNB meeting of November 2013 is officially over. We thank you all for being here.